Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Andrew Cherico. He is originally from New York and now lives in Orlando, Florida. Andrew has SMA, and we connected at this year's Cure SMA conference, which was in Orlando. And he is currently a sophomore at the University of Central Florida studying sports journalism. Andrew, great to have you today.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin? I'm doing good. I'm happy I can finally talk with you one-on-one because during the conference, we see each other countless times, but we just didn't really get the opportunity to talk, so I'm happy to be here.
Bro, it was crazy this year. I mean, I'll talk more about that, and I've written about it some, but I've been going to conferences for years, but particularly in the last couple, it's just exploded, and there were like 3,200 people there this year, and that's the thing. There were some people I did get to like kind of see throughout the week and talk, and others like, I'm like, hey, how's it going? I know you from Instagram, but no, same here. I like the one-on-one conversations. We really, really get in depth here. So yeah, it's awesome, man. But we'll get started here. So Andrew, just to start, can you talk about your life growing up with SMA and just how you approached life in general?
So to be completely honest with you, my parents found out I had SMA when I was 2.5 years old, and the symptoms didn't really start majorly affecting me until I was around 5 or 6, which is when I noticed when I was in kindergarten and first grade that I couldn't keep up with my friends in recess. Every time I would even try to run slightly fast, I would just fall over. And I have a vivid memory, my second day of recess, the day after a whole day of crying because of my separation anxiety that my dad left me, my second day in kindergarten, I finally got out of my shell and I started running with the kids, and we were playing tag, and I stepped back while one of them was trying to tag me, and I completely fell and just busted open a huge cut on my face, and that was the end of it for me. So then slightly as I got older, I'm talking about 7, 8 years old, I was just completely out of the loop at recess. Whenever kids were playing games, I was pretty much outcasted. I was watching near the gate and I was just eating like an ice cream or something. So that definitely had a huge toll on me growing up. And at the age of 9, I became non-ambulatory, which at the time, like I said, I'm still young. So I didn't really understand how it would affect the rest of my life. I wasn't sure how this things would change. I thought, oh, maybe this is like a temporary thing and I would get out of the wheelchair soon. But slowly, it just became more of a reality that I was going to be in the wheelchair for the rest of my life. And for around 2 to 3 years after that, during all of elementary school and near the end of middle school, I was depressed. I hated my wheelchair. I was very antisocial. I didn't like to talk much. I did not want to associate my wheelchair with me. And it wasn't until near 8th grade where I realized, like, okay, I'm getting older and I can't be sad about my wheelchair all day. I have to embrace it. This is me. It's not going to change anytime soon. And if I'm just staying home, not talking to anybody, I'm not going to do anything. So I just had like a big, like almost like a eureka moment where I'm like, okay, I'm going to start embracing it. And the first step I really took to start embracing my wheelchair was telling them, my online friends that I play Xbox with, that, hey, I'm in a wheelchair. I played with them for 3 years. They had no clue because it was kind of my escape. It was fair playing ground. My hands worked just as well as them, and I was just as competitive with them, so I felt it was fair. But eventually, like, we've grown such a bond that they didn't know, and it was so funny because when I told them, they're like, wow, for real? Like, you're in a wheelchair? Like, can I see a picture? I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, dude, that's crazy. But then that was it. It was like, oh. Like, I was like, that's it. I was like, oh, we're still your friends. Like, we're still going to play with you just because we've been playing with you for 3 years. And not because you're in a wheelchair, we're not going to stop playing. Like, I wasn't sure because I was like, I was literally shaking when I was telling them. I was how nervous I was. And honestly, ever since that moment, I felt pretty much like relieved to tell everybody I'm in a wheelchair. I'm happy to say it. I'm happy that it's a part of me. And honestly, it's shaped my life for the better.
Man, that's great. And I want to get back to that moment in a sec. But first, so before we start recording, we were talking a little bit about your family. So are you the only one in your family who has SMA?
Yes, I am the only one in my family with SMA, and I'm the youngest child.
So I am too, and I want to talk about that. So like, so for you, what was your relationship with your siblings like growing up, and how did that impact you, particularly as you were wrestling with those feelings of self-acceptance?
Well, my siblings were always a couple years older than me. I was a very late baby, I would say. By the gap between me and my second oldest sibling is, I'm 19 and he's 26. So that's to put it in perspective. And my oldest sibling, which is my sister, she's basically my second mom. She's in her mid-30s. So I've always had like a caretaker relationship with my siblings. I never had a real like brother and sister like arguing or play fighting or anything really like that. The most I had was just playing video games with the brother who's just older than me, who's 26. I just played video games with him a lot. We used to play. He used to get annoyed at me because I beat him. I used to get annoyed at him when he wouldn't let me play. I would start crying. I would scream at my mom like, he's not letting me play. But pretty much my relationship with them was great growing up. I never would say that I was treated differently by them. They always treated me like their little sibling. And whenever they used to go out with their friends, they used to invite me sometimes. And my sister, she told me stories about how when I was younger, she would take me everywhere with her. I'm talking about like 1 or 2 years old. When she would go to school, she would bring me. When she would go to the beach, she would bring me. And she was like basically my second mom, like I was saying. And yeah.
That's really cool. And it's funny too, because I'm also the youngest of three. I also have an older brother in the middle and an older sister. And like the age gap isn't as big, but still when you're like, talking about the caregiving aspect, like my siblings never did like deep level caregiving, you know, like getting me dressed and stuff like that. But they were like you, just like you, they were the ones who took me places, especially like once they started driving, you know, like my brother and I would like go in places for years. And so that became a big part of our relationship is just like, and yeah, that support is huge. So that's really cool. And getting back to that moment of transition for you, when you did come to that moment of, acceptance. So like, so from that point on, like, what were some of the ways your life changed? I mean, you mentioned the, story with your, gaming friends and everything, but, how else did it affect you, especially going into high school?
I mean, overall, my entire, I would say, personality changed. I was a lot more outgoing, a lot more confident with myself, and that resulted in increases in my grades and my opportunities at getting to volunteer. I was putting myself out there, which was never reality before. I went to this high school in near Queens, in Long Island, on the border of Queens, in New York. It's called Henry Viscardi High School. Henry Viscardi School. It's a school that's K through 12, and they're they educate people with physical disabilities, and it's a great high school. It's traditional. You have prom, you have gyms and everything. And so I felt almost on the same page with a lot of people there because we all had similar issues. We all had a physical disability and we connected on a lot of levels. And it also allowed me to be like, okay, wow, like I'm not the only one living through life with a physical disability. So that as well just made me at ease with my disability as well. So I was getting involved with the high school basketball team. I was getting involved on field trips. I was doing independent living activities. And it was just that also being at that high school also opened a lot of opportunities and doors for me. I've got to meet in celebrities that the school helped me grant wishes for. I've gotten to go to the state capitol building in New York to advocate for the school and disability funding, because unfortunately the state is cutting back on some of that funding, which is terrible because we deserve to learn just as much as any other person, and if not smarter. So that's just my look.
That's really cool. And can you talk a little bit more about the state capitol event? Because like I'm just thinking too, from your perspective growing up in New York, which like I know other SMA people who live there, and it tends to be like, I mean, I know there's still a lot of accessibility issues anywhere, but it tends to be one of the more states and cities that has more accommodations overall, particularly for independent living. So I'm just curious more about that experience, because especially because you were still in high school and what that was like.
Okay, so I'm originally from the city, like downtown, not in downtown New York, but near downtown New York. You get the vibe, like everything is trains, subways, buses everywhere. But when I went to the Capitol building, it's upstate New York, which is a lot more suburban. It's more relaxed, it's more calm. And basically, we went and I got to speak with representatives and senators that were at the Capitol building directly to speak about funding for the schools because it's a certain system of schools that get this funding. Where our school was in a class and this particular class was getting cut down. So I was just letting them know, like, man, I'm just as deserving to learn. I believe the teachers at the school, they're working extra to accommodate all of our needs to give us a fair learning ground. And we deserve to have just an education. And regarding your question on the accessibility in New York, I would say I was fairly active independently in New York. When I was younger, I didn't really start going out until I was 13 on my own or with friends, but not with family. My mom and dad were very protective, especially in New York. You know, there's a lot of good things going on, but there's also bad things going on too. So they wanted to make sure nothing bad happens to me, which I completely understand. So I didn't start going around until I was 13, and I did have a curfew when I needed to come back. But for the main part, we didn't really travel that much on the subways and the buses, but we more like went around the community, the neighborhood. There were some basketball courts around. There were some recreational pools. There were just some hangout spots that were just pretty cool. People would come by, play some board games like dominoes. It's a cultural Dominican game, which everybody loves dominoes. And it was just a vibe like that. And when we were, when I was around 16, 17, that's when I really started taking the subway. Downtown New York to Brooklyn to Queens. I started traveling. I also got this a share ride service called AccessoRide, which I didn't know prior to going to high school, which some other students advised me on. And so I started using that share ride service. I would go around, I'll go downtown. And yeah, there were some times where I would get off at a train station and there wouldn't be a working elevator. And man, it was a pain. It was a real pain because I had to get back on the train. And if it really wasn't an accessible station, I had to like almost like ramp the getting onto the train because there was no ramps. There was no a conductor. They were just looking at you and see if you can get on the train. If you can't, they just go. So I had to like back up a couple feet and just almost drive full speed into the train. And I'll be like all shaken up. My brother sometimes would be with me. My friend would be with me to make sure I don't fall. Yeah, so that's pretty much that situation. Sorry, my sister was calling me.
No
That's
worries.
pretty much that situation on me being able to transport myself around the city. It was pretty cool. I would go around, I would take a lot of pictures. That's when I started really discovering that, wow, I could be independent. I would go to the store by myself. And I got to a certain point where I wouldn't even tell my mom, I'm like, Mom, I'm going downstairs. I wouldn't ask for permission. Mom, I'm going downstairs to get some food. Mom, I'm going downstairs to get hang out with a friend. And she'd be like, okay, be safe. And I would just go. I get in the elevator, and honestly, a very underrated part of having a disability is opening doors. Opening doors is a huge trouble, especially if there isn't an accessible door feature where you hit the button. Because man, it's a pain. And thank God I just had a technique where I would open the door with my foot plate slightly, grab it, and just basically speed through the door before it closes. Because otherwise, it would have been a real trouble going outside, and that would have like hurt my independence a lot.
No, that's really cool to hear. And yeah, I mean, I've been to New York City a couple times, and yeah, that, and I'm glad you talked about both the differences there and then upstate, and but that's really cool. You got to do that kind of advocacy early on, and I imagine that
Yes.
like shaped a lot of what you wanted to do going forward. That's really cool. And then can you
Yes.
talk?
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And can you talk about the transition from high school to college, because I know you, so you're a sophomore now, and you just
Yes.
moved, so kind of all of
Yes.
that intertwined.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I'll give you a rundown from the beginning. So during my high school year, we were looking around options. My grades were really well at that point. I ended up not to brag. I graduated
Hey.
class valedictorian, second highest in the class. So my grades were well enough to get accepted anywhere. My SAT score wasn't as good because that was during the time of COVID, and it was just really all a bunch of stuff, hecticness going on, chaos going on. And I didn't study. I was out of the loop. I was just like done. I was done with everything. Everybody's mental health was affected at that point. So my SAT score wasn't the best. So I wasn't getting into any Columbia universities, Harvards. I wasn't getting into that. But my parents at the time were also planning to retire as soon as this COVID situation was done. I have older parents, like I said, they're in their early 60s. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely at the retiring stage. I was at my going to college stage. So I looked at my options. I have a lot of family down here. I have uncles, cousins, aunts, as much family as you can name, I have here in Florida. And then I looked at my options. I have University of Florida, I have Florida State University, but then I saw University of Central Florida. I've always wanted to be into sports. I was a big sports fan. When I was 9 years old, I realized, okay, I'm probably not going to be playing sports. I was looking at my legs. I'm like, these aren't equipped. So I knew that wasn't in my reality. But for as long as I watched sports, I loved it. And I knew I was going to get myself into this field one way or another. And to go back to the main point I was talking about, University of Central Florida has an up-and-coming sports division. We're Division I. We just entered a big conference for football. So we're basically as big as you can get in football. So I looked at that, checked the requirement. It's Orlando. Who doesn't love Orlando? We just had that conference here, Disney World, Universal. And I'm at the central point where all my family is. Like, I have some family North Florida. I have some family South Florida. So it's easy to go back and forth. And whenever family comes to Orlando, they have a place to stay. And we've done that many times for many people already. So we figured Orlando might be the best. So I went to the university. We looked around and we said, this is what we want to do. And I applied, I got accepted. And the point where it becomes a little bit confusing, because I told you I moved a couple months ago, but I was already a sophomore. We had some issues during the time of the move. We had some family-related tragedies. So that definitely affected the move, because it's a big move from New York to Florida. And it definitely affected our move in many ways. So I ended up doing a virtual semester in the spring of 2022. So I took a gap semester because I thought we were going to move after I graduated in June 2021. I took a gap semester for fall 2022. No, I'm sorry, fall 21. I'm sorry. And I started up virtually spring 2022. And then I was like, okay, I didn't really enjoy it. I did not like the asynchronous classes. Basically, asynchronous, if anybody doesn't know, it's basically they hand you work and you submit it at your own deadline. At their deadline, you submit it at your own time. And it was terrible. I didn't have any Zoom classes. I wasn't really learning. I was just more receiving work and submitting work. That was it. And it's Florida. I was missing out on the whole campus life. It's amazing out there. Every time I go on campus, I find myself there for 4 hours just going around. It's amazing. I meet new people. Uh-huh. So I was missing out on that. So I was kind of down during that time where I couldn't move. And I was just trying to get some credits in because I didn't want to be unproductive. I always have a craving for productiveness. I always need to be doing something that is going to keep me exceeding in life. So I was definitely like, okay, I'm doing this just to have something done, but I do not enjoy this. So I let my dad know. And he was like, okay. So then I took another gap semester for the fall of 2022, the semester after I did virtual. And we were going to move again, and then more problems occurred. But thankfully, just literally 5 days before the semester started, I finally moved into a new apartment here in Orlando, Florida. And I went, the first thing I did was go to the campus, find my classes. And then 5 days later, I was attending at University of Central Florida. I had a great first semester. I met so many great new people. I met Shaquem Griffin, really, really awesome guy. He used to attend University of Central Florida. He was the first football player to play with one arm, which is such an inspirational story. Yes, it's amazing. So he used to go to the university, so I met him. And I've made a lot of friends. I've made a lot of connections already. And it's just been awesome. And I definitely recommend to anybody considering college. I would say in person is definitely a good way to go if you have the ability to. I know a lot of people, because of the independence, getting around on campus, it's not always an option. But if you can make it happen, I would definitely recommend it.
Man, that's awesome. And thanks for explaining the nuances, because I think a lot of people, when they're first thinking about college, like in our community, they don't really know where to start. And so you do have to consider all those factors when it comes to You know, do you want to live independently, close to campus, or like, and work with caregivers? And, you know, in your case, you had the family support of people there. But yeah, there's so many factors that come into play. So that's great. And I love that you're thriving there and that it's going really well. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah. And then speaking of the SMA community, so, you know, we mentioned that we met up at the conference this year. And I like, was this your, for how many conferences have you been to?
This was actually my first conference.
This was first.
And it was insane.
Okay. Dude, so let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk more about just like the genesis of the SMA community. But okay, what was that experience like for you? Like, this is your, again, this is CureSMA conference in Orlando this year.
Yes. I mean, to put it in the funniest way possible, I had a social meter going into it. It was at 100%. My social meter, by the time I left on Sunday afternoon, was gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the energy to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. I met so many people. I was conversing for people upon hours and hours. I learned so many new things. I was actually looking for doctors out here that help with SMA research and clinic, an SMA clinic I was looking for as well, which I had in New York. I wasn't actually aware that MDA clinics can also take SMA patients. So I was at one of the booths, the vendors, I found out that there was a local hospital near me that will see me and will see me for my SMA, and I would be able to attend their MDA clinic, which was amazing. I never thought I would find that. And another pretty cool story, there was this PT I used to have, and I hadn't seen, and she used to see me in New York when I was 4 years old. I hadn't seen her since 2017, I believe, because she moved on to another hospital in California. And I was there with my PT currently in New York. And he said, "You know who's here?" And she said, and he said, "Sally." And I was like, "Sally's here?" I'm like, "We need to find her immediately." So then we found her. And it was like the biggest, warmest hug. Like, oh my God. Like, she basically grew up with me. I was 4 years old when I first saw her. And by the time she left, I was 16. So she saw me through all my years. And I'm not telling you, we talked for literally almost 2 hours and a half, just catching up on life, past the SMA, past all the hospital stuff, just talking one-on-one converse about life. It was amazing. And they got to see my parents. And everything was just beyond belief how fun the conference was. And it was insanely informational. But I also had a great time just connecting with other people in the SMA community, which I never had done. I never seen this many people at SMA in my entire life that I saw in one day. I met so many new people. And I would say the best part about it was just connecting with everybody, whether it be informational, whether it be for fun, or whether it be for informational speakings. I learned a lot, and oh my God, I'm almost speechless talking about it, because if anybody with SMA, you've never been, it's literally a life-changing experience. My life has gained a significant impact from this conference.
No, man, and I was telling a lot of people there who I met who were also first-timers, like, I've been going for years, like, since I was a kid the CureSMA had a different name, like, when we went to our first conferences, and so it's crazy how much it's changed, like, in a good way, because, like, it used to be like 300 people there. That encompassed everyone, and there was like a very small percentage of adults with SMA there. And so it has grown so much, and it's just so many people. And I love talking to all the people this year that it was their first time, because they had a lot of the same things you had to say of just like, it's overwhelming, but in a good sense that you get to connect with so many people. And then on that, just as a follow up to that, so even before the conference, like, you know, you had started connecting with people online. What has connecting with other people in the SMA community, how has that impacted you?
Oh, it's impacted me in many ways, socially, confidence-wise, dating-wise. I've asked for advice. I've asked for their experiences. Mm-hmm. Some wanted to share, some not, which is completely understood. And I just asked them, what are certain things that you do in your life? Because, you know, as a person with a disability, you're always learning new things. There's always a new technique to something. There's always some new device or new equipment that assists your life. So I was just asking people about their daily life questions. And I feel like that has affected me the most in terms of, oh, going out, how do you do this? Or how do you take the subway this way? Or how do you approach a person that you never talked to before this way? And it's just like things like that, getting advice from other people from a similar standpoint from you is like, okay, that's like great. It's like, I was basically taking notes while I was there in my brain the entire time. It was just like, wow, so many new things. And I met so many new people, so many connects. I even met a person for to repair my wheelchair accessible van.
Nice.
So it was just, I met a surplus amount of people that were all great people. I didn't want to run into one bad person there. I didn't run into anybody with a negative attitude. Even the people I didn't talk to, there was a sense of like family there. They're like, you would just say hi and keep going about your day. But you know, it was a genuine hi. It wasn't a fake hi. Like, have a good, like getting into the elevator and leaving. Like, oh, have a good rest of your day. They're like, thank you. You too. And staying up to like 12 a.m., 1 a.m., just talking with friends. You know, that's always a fun part of the conference. That's a thing that people do. Staying by the poolside, getting into the pool, the accessible pool, I should say, with the lift was awesome. And just and also going around Disney for the day that we got the free ticket. I thought that was great. That was my first time actually going to Disney because I've lived in Orlando for 6 years. I've been to Universal twice, one while I wasn't living here and once while I was living here. But that was my first time going to Disney, which was really, really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I totally know what you mean about social battery being depleted by the end of the week. It's like, it is. I mean, like I said, it's overwhelming in a good sense, but it is, you're just like constantly talking to people and it's constantly connecting. But then the nice thing is like, we become so connected there that then we end up talking throughout the year. And that's what's really cool.
This is basically between us right now. Although we knew each other on Instagram before, we barely spoke at the conference. Mm-hmm. And now this is the longest conversation that we've ever had together, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, talking about the social meter, I was on my main goal on my mind was just to approach new people. I was like almost a kindergartner, like, hi, what's your name? Where are you from? And I did that to at least, I would say, 30 plus people in the span of the 3 days. And some people got into conversation with for 10 minutes, then they had to go. Some people stayed and we were talking for almost an hour. So it just really depended on how well you connected or if they were busy. But my social meter, the next day after I woke up after the initial first day at the conference, I was like, okay, I'm sleeping in today. There was no way I was waking up. I was so tired because I didn't realize the impact that speaking could have on your physical fatigue. I was genuinely tired from speaking, and it was crazy because I was like, wow, like I don't really have the energy to talk to that many people. So on the second day and the third day, I more kind of stopped socializing as much as I did on the first day. I was still socializing a ton on the second and third day, but not as much. I started hanging out with friends that I was familiar with and just getting to know them more instead of just meeting new people over and over again, because it does get exhausting, that I can say. And especially having SMA, all our face muscles, our neck muscles are getting strained all the time. So I definitely understand everybody's aspect on that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And it is just a like whirlwind of an experience, but it's so cool. And I'm so glad we got to meet and getting to talk now and actually get in depth with our stories. That's huge. But yeah, man. And Andrew, yeah, I mean, this has been a great conversation. And wrapping up here, what's kind of like one message you want to share with listeners out there, particularly people who also have SMA, but really anyone in the community or anyone listening?
Okay, so the message I'm going to say is from personal experience. It might be a message plus one, like two messages in the same. But embrace your disability. It's a part of us, especially having SMA. It's not leaving us unless there's some kind of crazy technology that comes out in 20 years. It's not leaving. So definitely embrace it. It's a part of you. Enjoy it. My way of coping with it is making jokes about it. I mean, I'm hanging out with some friends. I see the stairs. I'm like, I cannot go up those. They start laughing. It's a good time. And it's just a way of like, you know, not degrading yourself, because that's not how I look at it. But it's more like you're having fun with it. Everybody has a thing that they don't like about themselves. And I feel like the best way to do it is about laughing. And secondly, the second message I have is getting to embrace yourself, put yourself out there. I was very antisocial. I didn't do much as a kid. And I still feel like that haunts me back to today, because I think of the possibilities that I did have growing up. And when I was in high school, I saw some students going on field trips. I went up to the guy who went to field trips. I'm like, I would like to go on those. I would like to go on opportunities. And sooner or later, I was going on the big field trips that the principal requested the students to go on. Like, for example, the state capitol building. It was very limited, two-person field trip. I applied for it. I got the opportunity to go. It was me and another friend, Paul. It was a great time. So definitely put yourself out there. Don't limit yourself. Don't be afraid to say hi. Don't be afraid to say, oh, I want to do this, because it's the regret that you have after not doing it which haunts you the most. Because if you went up to somebody and you said, hey, can I do this? And they said no, at least you know you tried. But not doing anything at all, that I feel like has the biggest regret on somebody. So, for example, growing up to a celebrity and asking him if you can follow me on Instagram because I'm trying to build my disability awareness. I'm trying to build a stage for myself. And having, of course, celebrities following you, it only attracts other people to follow you more and listen to your story. So I've asked multiple, and some said yes, some said no, but I know at least I tried.
Man, I love it. And I mean, that message is so great. And I'm going to send you a link to my column after this, because my column is also about embracing your disability and life with SMA and all the nuances that come with it. But I love that too. About what, can you real quick share, like, what are some of the celebrities here? Who are some of the celebrities you've met that and you've been in there? Like, I imagine a lot in the sports field.
Yes. I'm big into the sports field. So my dream wish was to meet my favorite basketball player, Russell Westbrook. He was a point guard for Oklahoma City during a long amount of time. He is really the player that got me into basketball. I had such a great time meeting him. That was like one of the first celebrities I met in person, which was awesome. And it was a beyond surreal experience. He followed me back on Instagram. We had a great talk. We've talked since. We interact with each other from time to time. And man, it's like really meeting your idol. It was a wish from the Marty Lyons Foundation, which is a foundation in New York. It's amazing. They grant people's wishes. I believe the age isn't affected, but I could be wrong. Do not quote me on that. But they got to reach me out for a wish. And man, it was beyond belief. Like, they set me up the whole day. They got me a personalized chauffeur to drive me around. They got me practically as close as you can disability seats for the basketball game. And then I got behind the court access after the game. And then I got to go into the tunnel to finally meet him. And I spoke with him. I let him know, like, man, like, it's literally my dream to meet you. And this is quoted because I was featured on ESPN and Bleacher Report and all that good stuff. The quote that went popular was, to me, you're more than a basketball player. You're my idol, which he really was, because it wasn't just the integrity and confidence he played with on the court, but it just seemed like he didn't care what other people think. And he'd always put his 110% effort into everything. And people who watch basketball knows that he doesn't have a great game sometimes. He doesn't. But he does always 110% of the time try, which stuck with me the most. And that's the characteristic point. But that was more me telling him, like, you're my idol. And another experience, I was at a concert with another friend with a disability. Her name is Kamaya. She's a really cool person. She's one of my best friends. And she invited me, $30 ticket to a concert, which is like, wow, that's really good. So I went, and we were waiting for our share ride service, accessor ride, back home. And leaving the venue, we saw a popular YouTuber. His name is Kai Sanat. He's been very, very popular as a way. He was the most subscribed Twitch streamer in the world at one point. I saw him leaving, getting into his taxi, and I said, hey, Kai. He turned around. He said, hey, what's going on, man? And we just spoke. We took pictures. He saw my Instagram story, and it was amazing. Another good one that a lot of people don't know that I've met, because it's on the deep depths of my page, which is only like 25 posts. I've met Kevin James. Most famous
really?
And known for Grown Ups and
King of Queens.
And Mall Cop, yes. The Henry Viscardi School, yes. King of Queens, of course. That's my dad's favorite show. I don't know if I forgot that one.
Yep.
So Henry Viscardi School is actually close-knit with Kevin James. He's been an active member in that community, going to special events, going to events where they needed some fundraising. He's always there. So he invited some people out to his new show on Netflix. Well, this was during 2021, it was The Crew. And he invited some people out to his casting for our school. And I was one of the ones selected to go. And after the show, we got to meet him, shake his hand. I talked about being a Jets fan and a Mets fan and all that good stuff. And it was just an awesome experience. I got to experience how they make a show in person. Like, it was a sitcom on Netflix. So it was very like easygoing, laughs in the background. You know how they make like a corny joke and haha. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
for
yeah,
him,
yeah.
it was like really insane experience to see all the work that goes into it. They shot the same scene almost 15 times. They shot only three scenes while I was there, and we were there for like almost 4 or 5 hours. So there is a lot of work that goes into it. It was really cool seeing behind the scenes. But yeah, and also one last one, which I thought was pretty cool. I went to the MDA organization fundraiser at Chelsea Piers, New York, downtown. And I was one of the selected participants to go. And I met some football players. His name was Prince Amukamara. He was a cornerback for the New York Giants. I met two really awesome wrestlers that I watched. Not growing up, because I'm not that old, but I watched Mick Foley. I met Mick Foley and Sergeant Slaughter, which are basically icons in the wrestling entertainment industry. Those are legends. So I was really cool meeting them. And honestly, I don't mean to brag at all, but I've met a great amount of people. I don't know. I think I have a knack for meeting people. Hey, what can I say? We're good PR. That's
Bro,
just
it's the
a
power of
joke.
connections, and it's really cool
It's
when that happens. Yeah,
it is. So I'm
awesome
just
man.
sharing some of my coolest experiences. Some other basketball players, some football players. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I love hearing those stories, and yeah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing yours, and also, where can people find you?
Okay, so on Instagram, I am Andrew.Cherico, Cherico. Really simple, it's my name. And also, if you don't mind, follow me on Twitter as well. I'm getting active there. It's Andrew_Cherico, Cherico. I will, on my Twitter, it's more of a professional page. I'm reporting sports. I'm a sports journalist for the UCF Sports Athletics. So if you want, if you're interested in that, I comment also other sports in college. So it's mainly a college reporting page. But my Instagram is where you can find me. That's where I'm really active.
Nice.
Andrew again, Andrew.Cherico. I post personal pictures, memes, and stuff like that. And you get to find out kind of my story through my page. So you can definitely go ahead and follow that. And I'll follow everybody back. Thank you for connecting.
That's awesome, man. And I'll also do a plug here. So this episode will go out in early August. I don't know when your story will go out, but but Andrew is also one of the participants in our SMA Community Member Spotlight Initiative this year for SMA Awareness Month. And so I don't know. Right now we're recording in mid-July, so I don't know exactly when your story is coming out, but that'll be a written piece with pictures and everything. So be sure to check out our main site for that. So yeah. Awesome. Well, Andrew, thanks so much again for talking. This was great, man. And wish you best of luck, and we'll be keeping in touch.
Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor. I was more than welcome to come on, and thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me share my story. And hopefully, to somebody out here who's listening, hopefully I inspired, or hopefully I gave you some courage to go do something new.
Dude, absolutely. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us on our forums and follow our main site at smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.